You're listening to the Redeemed Cast. This is Markeith McDaniels, and I'm here today to give you winning mindset of the day. Now, today, we're going to do things a little bit different. I have some things planned as far as dealing with some marks and some labels and stigmatizations, how some of the things that we do can attract those things and be very detrimental to our lives. And the majority of that is what creates generational curses. So we'll save that one for the next time. There's still a whole lot to go on with that. It's going to be a great treat. So definitely be on the lookout for that next week. I'm not going to come at you with something that's not haphazard. You know what I mean? It's going to be good. Begin to deal with me on that because that right there is a major thing not talked about enough. And not only is it not talked about enough, it's not dealt with enough. You know, it's not enough to know about these things. There has to be a solution to these things. So tune in next week, Tuesday, to be exact, to not only learn about this, but also to receive a solution. Amen. Be free from these things. Amen. So right now we're going to be going over an angle when it comes to the power of life and death and a tongue. It's an angle that exists, but I have not heard many people speak of from this angle. And it's very important. And we must be careful, very careful. And how we go about this angle. And when a lot of us, we end up opening ourselves up to a world of hurt and a whole lot of trouble unknowingly because of this angle. So, yeah, let's get started. So what I want to talk about here, we're talking about the power of testimony. You hear a lot of great things about testimony, how it's very powerful and all that other good stuff. And indeed, it is powerful just as much as and the power of life and death is in the tongue. Is that powerful? Things that we confess, the things that we speak on. You know, even a bunch of people who do not believe God, do not believe in God, do not believe the Bible, believe how important it is, you know, self-actualization and talking positive, speaking positive things into existence, into the atmosphere, into the universe, all that other crap. But even though I call it crap, there's definitely some truth to it. You know, as the Bible tells us, what a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But I'm not going to talk about it so much from that angle. I'm talking about it from the angle of testimony, the power of testimony on both sides when it comes to testimony and how it is very important that we give the proper testimony, which is to the glory of God. We are witnesses unto Jesus Christ. Amen. So sometimes, you know, when we give a testimony, especially when I was first starting out with my walk with Jesus, you know, I first got serious about my walk with Jesus at the age of 17 years old, and that was back in 2002. It's a long time ago. And the way I thought testimony was done was completely wrong. I had it all wrong. I thought a testimony was like an autobiography and snitching on yourself and talking about all the things that you did wrong, all the things you did bad, what you used to do, and then give a little quick insert at the end of it saying, I'm no longer doing those things, and glory to God, right? That's not a testimony. So at the end of the day, the testimony is we are witnesses unto Jesus, his works, and it should reflect his glory in it, right? It should reflect as overcoming in that. You should not have to say one word. It should be noticeable, right? So, but I'm gonna hit you up with the angles when it comes to the power of the testimony. Amen. So we have the definition of testimony, right? Went on ahead and did a quick little Google search to help us out with this concept of the power of the testimony. Okay? And we need to, like I said, we need to be very careful with how we use testimony. We're testifying every day, all day. Like I said, the power of life and death is in our tongues. And the things that we're saying, the things that we are agreeing to, right? We are testifying. So the testimony, it's a noun. It means it's a formal, written, or spoken statement, especially one given in a court of law. So it's the most powerful thing that can pretty much sink or swim a person in a case. If you're the defendant, or if you're the suspect, if you're the person who has a case against you, it's the very thing and one of the most powerful things used as an evidence. See, you have a lot of cases or stories and movies you watch where you have the detective, they put together this great case to sink some high-profile character, right? And the last ingredient that they need to really make it a home-run case is they need the testimony. They need a witness, an eyewitness, an account. And that's the very thing that usually seals the deal. It's very powerful in the court of law. Now, if it's that powerful in the court of law here on this earth, how much more powerful it is in the courts of heaven? So this is where I want everybody to turn their attention to, is the courts of heaven. Everything it is that we say is being recorded up in heaven, right? As the Bible says in the book of Revelation, that when Jesus returns, the reward is in his hand, right? He's going to reward us for everything it is that we've done, good or bad, and everything we've said, good or bad. We're going to be held accountable for those things. We're going to have to give an account, you see? So even in the courts of heaven, I try to give you a bit of a parallel. So as I'm explaining these things, how it is on this earth, you know, look at it the same exact way, if not more greater and powerful, as in the courts of heaven. How it is we need to be very, very careful. With the power of testimony in the court of law, you know, you have people who, like I said, they snitch themselves, the admission of guilt, they plead guilty. You know, usually that people, they have no fighter's chance. They have no case, no way at all whatsoever to get out of this thing. So they just plead guilty. They accept punishment. And usually they get suckered into believing. And I say suckered into believing that they're going to get a lower sentence. And usually, I don't know, man. I'm sorry, but after you've seen the world enough, you start to realize that the art of selling is in pretty much everything. But yeah, the admission of guilt, I'm not going to go too much into that. But then there's also the no contest, right? Which is kind of similar to the admission of guilt, but it's just that, hey, this is the case. I'm not going to contest it. I'm not going to fight against it. And it's just let it be. I'm not pleading guilty and I'm not pleading innocence. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit in here and contest or go against whatever it is you choose to label me as, or whatever it is you choose to give me the punishment at. You see? And then there is the pleading of innocence. Like you're going to fight against this. You're not going to accept this. You know, you're not guilty. So, and then there's the pleading the fifth. And the pleading the fifth can be, it could help you, and it also can be used against you. So if you're sitting there and you're not saying anything and everybody's just accusing you, kind of like the story of Jesus before he was sent to his death on the cross. A whole lot of people were accusing him of things and he wasn't really saying anything. And the only time he actually responded was, these people are saying that you are the king of the Jews. It was against the law for the Israelites to have a king because they had Caesar, right? Rome. They were a province of Rome. They were a conquered people. It was against the law for any of the provinces of Rome to have a king. It was only one emperor, and that was Caesar. And so he answered to that. And he was like, it's as you say. That was the only time he said something. And that right there sealed the deal for his persecution and his execution. So the other thing about pleading the fifth is that not only when you choose to say nothing in the face of being accused, that is very dangerous. And you know, as like the Bible tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from us, right? And the Bible tells us he sits there, you know, before the throne of God and he accuses the brethren day and night, 24/7. Nothing but accusations. And just imagine if we didn't have Jesus, right, who was our representative in heaven, right? Just imagine if we didn't have his blood speaking for us. It'd be very terrible, right? And the other side of pleading the fifth is used in this case, right? We have Jesus, the greatest of lawyers and the greatest of representative, right? If you're going to plead the fifth, it is only powerful if you have good representation in a court of law. It's only powerful when you have a good lawyer that's going to do the talking for you. You don't have to say a thing. You know you're getting up out of this thing. You know you're justice going to be served in your favor, right? It's the same thing we have in the courts of heaven. We have Jesus. His blood is speaking. You know, it's still saying it is finished. It is still saying it is sealed. Ever since he first said those words, those three words, before he gave up the ghost on the cross. It is finished. It is sealed. The case is dismissed. That's what that means. It is finished. Case is dismissed. That is the judgment. So we plead the fifth, and the only thing we do is we give glory to God. The only thing we do, we give our thanks and we give our appreciation unto God. So let's continue on here, because there's some other angles that I want us to consider here with the power of testimony. Is that, you know, as the Bible tells us, that we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I know that gets thrown out around quite a bit and within the right context, but I want us to continue to understand the power of testimony. And a lot of us, we're going around, we're testifying, we're saying this, and we're saying that. But are we truly overcoming? Right? We talk about just the testimony part of it, or we might talk about just the blood part of it. You see, we have to be, first of all, we have to have that representative. We have to make sure we're in the right relationship. We have to make sure that we have not only confessed Jesus into our heart, but we allowed him to be Lord of our lives. We have to be in alignment with that case dismissed. Kind of like the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross did not deny that he deserved to be on that cross. He was like, man, I deserve to be here. We deserve to be here. I don't know about why is this guy being treated this way? Jesus, you do not deserve this. And, you know, right then and there, he recognized Jesus was, and Jesus was a better representation. It was like, God, Jesus, will I be with you in paradise? He said, yeah, surely this day you will be with me in paradise. You see, his sin was forgiven just by his own admission, by his own confession, and not only his own confession of his own guilt of his sin, right, to the right person, to God himself, the one who can give mercy, the judge, the only judge who can give mercy, his plea for mercy, his plea for grace, right, came after the confession with the expression and the confession of his need of a Savior. Can I be with you? Can I live with you? Can I have a relationship with you? So when you have that relationship with Jesus, then you're qualified for his blood to cover you, and then you overcome. And then you have that testimony because you have that confidence, right? And you have that faith that you stand on, right? You're walking by faith, not by sight, right? You having your feet shod and prepared with the gospel of peace, with a bunch of good news. Ain't no complaints, ain't no negativity, right? It's the power of life and death. You speak in life. You're receiving life because he is a God giver. He's a life giver. He is life, right? As he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So with that, all that being said, must be very careful with the way we testify and the words that we use to testify. You see, we are testifying every day, whether we realize it or not. We are witnesses unto him. God is with us all the time. He is omnipresent, right? He is everywhere all at the same time. He knows all. He knows, he hears everything it is that we are saying, right? He hears everything that is going through our ear gates, and there's a episode coming up real soon. I'm going to teach you about the gates and the portals and the spirit realm and how we need to be the guards, the watchmen of our own souls. The Bible tells us, right, to keep watch, right, to watch our soul, you know, to guard our hearts, you know, because it's the wellspring of life. We need to guard our hearts, for all the issues of life flow from it, right? We need to guard those things. So being the guard at the gate, we need to check certain things, right? I'm going to teach you those things, those portals and those entry points. But even that right there being also testimonies and our agreements and our thoughts and our minds, and we're just sitting there just allowed to just constantly enter in by the things we watch, the things we listen to. I'm going to go a little bit more soon, but I'm not going to go too deep into that. And the things that come out of our mouths, we're testifying all day, every day, and the conversations we have, the gossips, all that, right? And things that do not give glory to God, things that do not advance the kingdom of God, what is it advancing? The things that are coming out of my mouth, what is it promoting, right? And with the power of testimony, even when, like I was talking about the way I foolishly used to testify first starting out, it wasn't a way that glorified God. It glorified more of the past. It glorified the sin. And it did something more in a sense of giving the enemy, you know, material against him as he sits there. And we all do this. And we got to be very careful, you know, with the things that come out of our mouth. We give the enemy material to use against us in the courts of heaven. And the other example of a testimony is it's evidence or proof provided by the existence or the appearance of something. So as we're sitting here, we're testifying. It is not a testimony if we're talking about all the stuff we used to do. I was this, I was that, and blah, 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 snitching on ourselves, right? And we're not talking about the blood of Jesus. We're not talking about the glory of Jesus. We're not overly overcoming. We're just stuck in the past. And we're not testifying. We're not witnesses unto the glory of God, right? We're not really expressing true salvation. We're not expressing the gratitude of what God has done. So we got to be very careful indeed in how it is that we testify. We should be talking a whole lot more about what God is doing present. We're not being stuck in the past. We're in the present. The people are more interested in the present you and how God did that. If you could understand the difference in what it is I'm trying to explain here. So, you know, when you do this, like I said, you're giving material to the enemy to use against you in a court of law. And as you do that, these can bring curses upon you, right? It can bring shame upon you. It can bring marks on your life. It can be very difficult for you to advance in many things. It'd be very difficult for you to overcome and break through, right? And all people know, through those curses came many griefs, many misfortunes, many sicknesses, many diseases, a whole lot of things they have opened themselves up to just by the power of testimony, or just by the power of life and death that is in the tongue. And so we got to be careful. Like I'm saying here, you know, I'm saying all these things, hoping you catch fire, catch wind of this very important warning. And that there is a very great need to change. And there's a great need to really give God his proper due when it comes to his glory and allow him to have his proper place on the throne in our hearts and our minds and in our lives. And that we begin to testify the way we're supposed to testify and the way that God said we are to testify. You see, the other example is a similar example, and it is the way that they have said what a testimony is, right? It's a solemn protest or declaration. See, we're declaring these things. Be very careful. Declarations are powerful. You know, their statements, like, it is established. You know what I mean? They're more than just words. They're powerful. It's establishing something with our statements. Declaration, a decree. You know, it's something that is being spoken into existence. And the other one is a public recounting of a religious conversion or experience. So with all those definitions in mind here, when it comes to the power of testimony, we need to stop visiting the past. And we keep doing that. We do that to ourselves in our minds and our thoughts. We do that to ourselves when we get up and we claim to testify the glory of God or whatever reason. Some of us do it because we want people to feel sorry for us. And then right then and there, we received our just reward, and because that's what we were looking for. But if we're truly looking to give glory to God, right, then the reward would be, like I said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And now if we were looking to be felt sorry for, right, and we're looking to be a victim, and that's what we're going to be. We want to continue to be victimized. We'll be continued to be in oppression. There's no real overcoming in that. That's a very long and drawn out way to overcome and receive healing. It's going to be a whole lot of tears, just tearing and tearing and tearing and tearing. No real victory, no real inner healing, no real deliverance, no real salvation. You're just telling a story, telling a sob story. And God, there's not glory in that. That's flesh that is glory. And that is the soul. It's flesh. It's not of the Spirit. It's not of the Holy Spirit. It is not a spirit and it's not of life. So when we do testify, let us refrain from these things that can end up being false testimonies. And I'm not accusing anyone who does that stuff. And just like myself starting out, you know, I wasn't knowledgeable. You know, I was ignorant, and a lot of us are ignorant, and we need to not be ignorant. We need to now no longer suffer due to our ignorance. As the Bible says, my people suffer due to a lack of knowledge. So now you have been warned, you've been empowered, you've been encouraged, you've seen a different angle. You see the importance of the power of testimony and how it's pretty much the same as the power of life and death is in the tongue. And real testimony, like I said, is something that gets everybody's attention towards Jesus and the cross. The attention should never be on us. That's a real testimony. And because as we go and we testify, and whether that be in the courts of heaven or whether that be in the courtroom, as one who is an eyewitness account, it ain't about us. We're not talking about us, are we? When we testify, who are we talking about? Whether it's to defend or offend, to go against or stand for, who are we talking about? Are we talking about ourselves? So the correct way to testify is not to be talking about ourselves, is to bring the attention towards God, towards Jesus, in the same way. Amen. So, you know, he's told us to forget the former things. And he said that he's doing a new thing. Do you not perceive that? And how can you perceive that if you're too busy stuck on the former, too busy stuck on the past? See, this is a perfect continuation from the past couple episodes where we're talking about how to fulfill the promises of God and the loser versus winning mentality. Perfect segue into getting us into this next episode coming up. And I see why the Lord did this way. So, once again, I didn't really give you the winning mindset of the day, but the winning mindset of the day is give glory to God. Focus on the right thing. Let our hearts, our eyes be continuously upon him in anything and everything, and even in our hurts, even in our weaknesses, right? Even Paul said it himself, you know, I will all the more boast in my weakness because you know, where I'm weak, he is strong. You know, his power is made perfect in my weakness, all that good stuff, right? His grace is sufficient. And even in our strengths, we still give him glory to God. I take in the glory because it's by his grace, by his mercy. Amen. So take that and use that. This is very powerful. Very powerful indeed. And just know that I'm praying for you. And go inspired. Go encouraged. And go empowered. God bless you.